where your feet was a minute ago. He said, though I fall, he said, listen, devil, don't you go to gloat and don't you rejoice, for I shall arise, because the Lord is the strength of my life. Amen. He's my light even in darkness. Glory to God. Can you shout and give God a praise? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Well, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Good to see everybody. Hallelujah. I just feel like we could worship tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the presence of God? It's just refreshing. You know? Hallelujah. Those of you that don't choose to enter in, well, I feel sorry for you. You're just going to have to get by some other way. But you know, you know, the Bible says in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there are pleasures evermore. Woo! You wonder what we're going to be doing in heaven? I don't know, but it's going to be good. Amen. Because what? At His right hand. You know, and the right hand is always the hand of blessing. Mm-hmm. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, you're blessed, and there's not anything the devil can do about it. Amen. Amen. Remember when they hired the prophet to go out and said, we want you to go pronounce a curse on all these people coming in to try and take over the land. Remember that? He said, go curse Israel. And every time the prophet got out there, all he could do was pronounce a blessing over them. Amen. People come to me all the time. Oh, I think somebody's put a curse on me. I think somebody's done this. I think somebody's done that. I said, listen, they can't put a curse on you. The prophet said, he went on to say, he said, there is no enchantment against the people of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. That curse comes against me. It just hits the blood. Pow, bounces right off. Amen. Yep. Well, y'all don't get too excited about it. I think it was 7-7 or 7-8, somewhere right around there. 7-7, 7-8, chapter 7, verse 7. Hallelujah. It's a good one, isn't it? Amen. You know, it's one of my favorites. Somebody says, what's your favorite? Whichever one I'm reading right now. Don't you feel like that? Praise God, especially whichever one God's speaking to me right now, that's my favorite. Hallelujah. Well, if you got your Bible, praise the Lord. Let's see here where we want to go. Okay, yeah. If you got your Bible, I want you to open it up to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read a text there and we're going to go on. I want to share with you some things I believe that are very important. You know, how many of you... You know, I know this is a bit of a rhetorical, well, it's not a bit, it is a rhetorical question, but anyway. How many of you want to be in position for what God's doing? You know, I don't want to just get by. I want to be where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, okay, by the power and the anointing of God. Amen. Now, that is a purposeful life, isn't it? I didn't say that that would necessarily make you popular. I didn't say that that would make you well known. But it will mean that I'm living a purpose-filled life. And when we walk in the will of God, when we walk in the plan of God, we are living a purpose-filled life. And the Bible has a lot to say about how God has called us. And He's called us for a purpose. And then He begins to work in our life to position us. And He's got a destiny for us. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we are predestined. In other words, before God ever called you, He already had your destiny mapped out. And He just looked over and saw her and said, okay, you'll fit right in here. Man, I got just the plan for you. I got just what you've been looking for. I got just what you need. And that's true about all of us. So I want to look at some things, and we won't get through them by any means all tonight, but there's some things here, some truths that I just want to share with you about how we can ensure. If we do the things, if you do the things I'm going to be sharing with you from the Word of God over the next, I don't know ever how long it takes, several weeks, I promise you, you will find yourself walking in lockstep with God, with God's plan, with God's predetermined plan and purpose for your life. And you know, you're going to show up at the right time. You know, ever heard that said about somebody? Said, you know, and of course the world says this, man, that's the luckiest person you ever seen. Seems like they're always in the right place at the right time. You ever heard somebody, you know, refer to people in, you know, talk in the world like that? Well, I want to tell you what. It doesn't have to be by luck or by accident. If we walk in these truths and these precepts that we're going to be looking at in God, I promise you, you're going to find yourself right where God wants you to be. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, that can be all kinds of interesting places. You know, there was a time when being in the will of God meant that Moses was in the backside of the lower 40. There was a time when being in the will of God meant that David was sitting on the throne of God. There was a time in being in the will of God where it meant that Joseph was there in prison and nobody knew where he was. But also there was a time where he followed out the destiny and plan of God and he found himself ruling and reigning all over all of Egypt. Hallelujah. Amen. So here's the thing. So here in Ephesians 2, this is kind of going to be our launching platform off this scripture. Verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship." Let's say that, but personalize it and say, "I am God's workmanship." I am God's workmanship. Let's say that again. I am God's workmanship. Hallelujah. Believe that. Believe that. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Notice, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, He called you and I. You know why? One of the reasons is because He had good works. He had something special prepared in advance for you and I to do. That, not the only reason, but that is a reason why your part, your life is important. That's why each one of us have an important place in the body of Christ. You know, you could have been, God could have had you born 500 years ago. Come on. You say, well, I was an accident. Well, that might be the worldly perspective, but that ain't God's perspective. You wasn't no accident. Amen. And of course, you've got a new birth too. So you got two births. You came in the natural. The first birth, when you were born of your mom, that wasn't no accident. That was God's plan. The Bible says that God already knew ahead of time and all your members were written in His book. Glory to God. Man, isn't God something? You hang out with God for a while and I'm telling you what, everything else is kind of dull. No offense intended to you or me. But I mean, God's just so exciting because wherever He is, something's happening. Amen. Amen. You know, they talk about in Hollywood about being on the A-list. You know, I'm not really sure what that is. I guess that means you're the top of the heap at the moment. You're the pop most popular or whatever. I don't know. Huh? You're the it. You know, you're the it. Well, God is the it being. He is it. Wherever He is, it is happening. Isn't that right? So He says He's got this predestined works, plan, purpose for us to do. And you know, when we walk in that, that is the most fulfilled you will ever be. It is the greatest satisfaction that you will ever know. And that's why in heaven it's going to be so glorious, so blissful, so wonderful, so exciting, is because in heaven we're going to be in the perfect will of God every moment. We're going to be fulfilling all. Listen, and what God's got planned for you doesn't have to do just with this earth. Now, right now, this is where we're at, so this is what we got to deal with. But listen, this plan and purpose of God for your life, it stretches through all eternity. Paul wrote the church, and he said, it's going to take God forever to reveal all His good plans and purposes that He has for you and I. Now, you think about it a minute. A God who's all-knowing, who has all power. The Bible says the things He's prepared for us hadn't even entered into our wildest imagination. And it says it's going to take a God like that forever to unfold His plan. Woo! Boy, that's a good one, isn't it? Man, you know, there's not going to be any getting up and being bored. Not going to be any Blue Mondays. And you know what? There doesn't have to be any Blue Mondays here. When we get into God's flow, when we get into God's plan and purpose, and we're moving along. And you know, sometimes God's plan and purpose, I'm just kind of introducing it in case you didn't know that. This is it. We're taking off. But you know, God's purpose, God's plan. But I want us to understand this because, you know, sometimes we go, oh, yeah. You know, but listen, God has a plan and a purpose for us. And when we step into that, you know, there are times in God's purpose and plan when, I mean, man, it's exciting. Things are happening. The dust is flying, as it were. Supernatural things are happening. All kinds of things are happening. And then there comes times when it's like Moses for 40 years in the backside. I mean, he's just getting up and, it, you know, it's the same sand there was yesterday. The same old sheep. There's the same old stuff. It's the same old routine. I can't possibly be in the will of God. This is just can't be it. And hear a holy grunt somewhere. So we're going to look at some things. Because the enemy, I mean, you know, the enemy doesn't want you walking out God's plan and purpose. And we're going to look at some things too. And he's always trying, he's trying to distract us. He's trying to get us to sit down, to go part way, but not all the way. He's trying to get us discouraged and doubting. He's trying to do all different things and put up roadblocks to keep us out. I mean, you think about Adam. I mean, here's Adam. He was created perfect. He was created innocent. He was put in a perfect place, Eden. And he was fulfilling God's plan and purpose. But lo and behold, somebody showed up. Amen. And the rest, as they say, is history, right? We'd be doing something probably different if he hadn't done what he had done. Amen. But nevertheless, you and I, we can follow after God. So he's got these plans and purpose. So the first thing is I want to just talk about, know this and remember this and don't forget this, that you have a divine destiny. Amen. There's something about, listen, when times, you know, whether there be just for a short time, like a snapshot, or maybe if we go days and we forget that we have a divine destiny, I'm telling you what, you know, you hardly want to get out of bed. Who wants to get out of bed and go to work? Case settled. I mean, you know, I mean, you think about it. What is it? I mean, you know. Oh, we're going to run the rat race and, you know, and get so much cheese at the end of the week. You know, we call it money. You know, and you know, we're going to pay the same bills we paid last month. Isn't that right? But I could ask you and you all could tell me exactly what day of the month, what bills paid. You know, because we've done it. And that we have to do that. But listen, if we lose sight of our destiny, then we settle down into just that natural part of living. I'm telling you, life is boring, is dull, isn't it? It just gets monotonous. I don't know. Sin, maybe sin and I are just weird. I don't know. What are you laughing about? At least you didn't say amen. Might have been thinking it. But, you know, because, you know, there's something about us, you know, I have to have a reason to get up. And I want to tell you what, earning a paycheck don't get it. If that's all we're going to do, let's just go and be with the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Oh, well, I'm afraid of dying. Well, you need to get right with God. Come on. The Bible says that Jesus, through his death, has destroyed him who had the power of death. That is the devil. And he talked about he has set us free, all of us who through all our lifetime were held in bondage through fear of death. What's the biggest fear people face? Fear of death. Isn't it? Well, let me just expand on your definition of death. Death, the Bible definition of death, is the separation of anything from the purpose for which it was created. Remember what God told Adam and Eve? He said, on the day that you sin, you eat of the tree, you disobey, you're going to die. Well, they didn't fall down and die bodily. He lived to be 900-something years old. But he was separated from God. He was separated from the purpose of God because he got ejected out of Eden. He lost his purpose. He died. And eventually, his body died. But the Bible says now that Jesus has come, He's abolished that fear. We don't have to be separated, be afraid of that separation. We don't have to be afraid of living a life without a purpose. You think about it. Why are most people, what drives most people? Why are they driven to accumulate, to be successful, to be powerful, to know the right people, to move in the right circles, to build a big corporation, to be the head of something? What drives people to do that a lot of times? It's because they are looking for their purpose. They are looking for something that's bigger than just getting up in the morning and sucking up oxygen again. I know that's blunt, but you know, I'm just real simple. If I hadn't figured that out by now, then bless your heart. But isn't it true? And we have, you have a destiny. Man, I'd write that down. I have a destiny in God. I have a destiny in God. And it's not just to pay off a mortgage and to own X number of automobiles and to have an insurance policy and send kids through college and do all that's fine and wonderful. But I'm going to tell you what, it's greater than that. It's greater than that. The word destiny comes from a root word that means to direct, to set apart for a specific purpose or end. That's, God has a destiny. And you know, the ultimate of that predestination, destiny that God has for us, it starts the minute we're born again. And now God's working that out. And the ultimate conclusion of that, out there in eternity somewhere, God knows. You know, some of us need longer than others. Y'all are looking serious. You needed to laugh. But he said this, he said, the ultimate end of this destiny is that we will be just like Jesus. Kind of makes me realize why God needs eternity. Isn't that true? Man, I look at us in the body of Christ and I think, God, nobody but you. Come on, I'm just being honest. Now, you know, I think you're great. You're wonderful. But I'm telling you, as human beings, oh, Lordy. And I think, God, only you can look way out there in eternity and see where we're headed. Only you can see where you're taking us. And you know what? The thing about a destiny, too, an understanding that you have one in God, is it's such an encouragement. Hello? It gives you hope. You know? You ever look at yourself and think, oh, God. Just for a moment. You know. Then we have to remember, okay, let's get back over here and look at ourselves in Christ. But sometimes we look at ourselves in the natural and think, oh, God. But when I remember that God has a destiny, God has a plan, God has a purpose for me, it gives me hope. Because I think, well, I'm not all that I want to be. I'm not all that I should be. But thank God, God's not through with me. He's got a destiny. He's got a purpose. He's got an end. And you know, it starts right now. So here's the thing. We need to keep that in mind. Because when we lose sight of our destiny, we will make choices. Bad choices. I want us to look at an example. Turn to 1 Samuel. Let's look over there at 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. We're talking about destiny. Oh, hallelujah. Say it again. I have a destiny. In God. I have a destiny. Oh, God. I don't know about you, but I have to encourage myself regularly. Mm-hmm. Daily. Mm-hmm. Hourly. Sure. Half hourly. Quarter hourly. You get the drift, right? Oh, hallelujah. 1 Samuel 13. Let me just preface this. You know, we're going to read about Saul here. Saul had been chosen. He was anointed. He was king of Israel. And God had a destiny for Saul. God had a great plan and a future for Saul. That was really, it was greater than what Saul had yet comprehended. Because God had a destiny for Saul that was this, that through Saul, the Messiah was going to come through Saul's family. Wow. That's a pretty good destiny, isn't it? But Saul either never discovered it. There's no indication that he ever really discovered it, or he didn't value it. Because we're going to read here, you know the story. They were getting ready to go into battle. And we pick it up here. Let's pick it up in about verse 8, I think, is where we want to pick it up. Let me look and see. 1 Samuel 13. Let's go down to about, I'm in 2 Samuel. No wonder it didn't look right. Let me get over there where the rest of you are. 1 Samuel. Now we'll begin it in about verse 8. The prophet, let me just say this too. We read it. The prophet had spoken the word of the Lord to him, said, now you wait until I come. Then we're going to, we're going to sacrifice to the Lord. We're going to get God's blessing on it. You're going to get God's direction. You know, destiny is so much, and we're going to talk about this too in the process. It's so much about timing, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is.
So much about timing. Do y'all ever chafe at God's timing, or is it just me? Lord. You know, I have to remind my, I was mully grubbing to God about it, you know, about timing, because I'm always in a hurry. How about y'all? I know you are. We're conditioned well, aren't we? God, hurry up. You know? And I said, God, why is it that you never seem to get in a hurry? He said, because I got all the time in the world. You know, if he needs more, I guess he can just create some. But it's destiny's about timing. And this was crucial as well here with Saul. God said, wait 7 days. Now wait on my timing, Saul. You're going into battle. I've anointed you. I've called you. You're going to win the victory. I'm going to give you victory. But now you wait on me. You wait for me to come. And we pick it up here in verse 8. It says, he waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal. Isn't it interesting? God will speak a word to you. He might speak a word, a promise out of the scripture. Maybe in your prayer closet, God will speak to you. How many know God still speaks to people? Hallelujah. Thank God. God still speaks to people. You say, well, he's not speaking to me. Well, spend some more time with him. He will.
Amen.
Amen. But you ever, God said something, and then it just seemed like, okay, God spoke something, and it's almost like, you know, he hit the pause button. And here, you know, because he said something and you were expecting it to happen and it didn't happen just when you thought it was going to happen. And that's what happens here with him. And he said he didn't come in the 7 days, and Saul's men, his army, began to scatter. Uh-oh. It sure didn't look like what God said. Maybe you've got a word from God. Maybe God's spoken to you about a part of his destiny, his plan, his purpose for your life. Maybe he spoke to you. Maybe it's been a lot longer than 7 days. Maybe it's been 7 years. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I've got some things God spoke to me 30 years ago.
Yeah.
How about you? You got some things God spoke to you? And it seems like it, and it looks like everything is scattering away from you. It looks like God's word is not going to come to pass. It looks like it's not going to happen. The circumstances are just yelling at you. God told you, you know, that loved one was going to be saved. Lord, and, you know, and you're just, man, you got that word, and it looks like they got worse. Oh, Lord. And so here's the thing. At that point, what? We have a choice that we will make. Will we believe in the destiny of God? Will we believe in the purpose of God? Can we believe in it even in the face of contradictory circumstances? Or will we be like Saul? Notice what it says. So Saul said, bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings. And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Now, you know what? Saul was not authorized by God to do this. And here's the thing. Fear drove Saul.
Yeah.
He didn't do it in faith. He did it in fear. He did it because he doubted that God was going to come through, like he said. Because the timing didn't look right. It looked like God had forgotten. It looked like it wasn't going to work. It looked like everything was against him. But instead of holding fast and firm and trusting God's word to him, Saul tried to take things into his own hand. You and I, of course, we've never done that. You ever tried to help God? As we say in the South, we leave out the L, help God. You ever tried to help God, though? You know, Abraham tried to help God, didn't he? Abraham knew about the time test. You know, the Bible, over and over, God does prove us. But he doesn't prove us with evil. But one of the things he does prove us with is time. Oh, boy. Because anybody, I can hold out, you know, for one day. Hallelujah. How about you? I think I could even go a week with some help. You know what I mean? But you know, when you go a year, 5 years, a decade. You know, a lot of rain can fall on your land. A lot of erosion can take place, can't it? And so we have to hold fast to the word that God's given us and not let go of it. You know, Paul wrote Timothy and he said, you warfare, a good warfare, through the prophecies that went before on you. You say, well, I don't have any prophecies on me. Get in the book. God said a lot about you. Amen. As a child of God, he said a lot about you. As a part of the body of Christ, he said a lot about you. As a citizen of the kingdom, he said a lot about you because you're in covenant relationship. And you know what? As you listen to God and you spend time fellowshipping with God, I want to tell you what, God's going to speak prophetic words concerning your life, concerning direction, concerning his purpose. And Paul told Timothy, he said, you hold on to those. You warfare a good war with those. Man, I'll tell you what. Man, I've got the words God's spoken to me. I've got them in my folder. I've got them on my desk. There's hardly a day goes by I don't get those things out. And I'm just like Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'll read those things out and declare them. And I say, wherefore I believe that it shall be even as it was spoken unto me. Amen. Because if I don't, I'll wind up just like Saul. I'll try to work it out in the flesh. I'll try to figure out how it's supposed to be done. I'll try to get out here and I'll miss the timing and the purpose of God. You have a destiny. Saul had a destiny. Notice he offered up the burnt offering. And just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived. Isn't that the way it always works? Man. You know? You wait 50 years and then when you finally decide to act, bam, you catch it right in the back of the neck. Amen. Come on. Why? Because any time we step out of the timing of God and we move out of the destiny of God, we open ourselves up. Okay? We open ourselves up. You know, I'm convinced of this, that a big share of the problems we have individually as Christians is not so much from an attack of the devil. And by that, I mean, he doesn't just come by and just jump on you and just start beating the tar out of you. Wham, 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 wham. Most of the time, it's because we've done something like Saul. We may have done it innocently. We may have done it ignorantly. But nevertheless, you know, we get out of the will of God. And when we do, we expose ourselves to the enemy's attack. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. It may be all kinds of it. It may be attacking our body. It may be attacking our finances and our family. It may be an attack of fear. It may be an attack of discouragement or something. But when we step out of that destiny, when we forget that destiny, when we try to take it into our own hands and we move in that place, we open ourselves up. And then, because we open ourselves up, it seems like, well, God, it just doesn't seem fair. I've been patient for 10 years, and the first time I step over here, wham. Yeah, well, it wasn't God that whammed you. It was the devil. It says here concerning this, it says Samuel, he said, as soon as he finished offering it, What happened? He said Samuel showed up, and he began to talk to him. Let me get back over and find my verse here. He says, 1 Samuel 11. He said, 13:11. Excuse me. That's why I didn't look right. Y'all keep me straight. He said, "What have you done? What have you done?" Saul replied. He said, "When I saw that the men were scattering and that they did not come at the set time, that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought." I'm just going to leave that alone. "Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I forced myself to offer the burnt offering." You know, isn't it interesting? We'll do stuff. We'll get ourselves in trouble because we thought. And then we will rationalize it just like Saul did. Mm-hmm. "Well, I had to, Lord." "You know I had to, Lord." And when we do that, what do? We have what? We have forgotten that we have a destiny in God. And let me say this, that while, yes, we have our part in that destiny, we have to believe in it. We have to respond in obedience and faith to it as God directs us. But never forget this, God is the author and the finisher of that destiny. He is the one when he says, "Okay, it's time to take the next step." He's the one that says, "Okay, it's time. The timing is right now. Now's the time to do this. Yeah. Now's the time to do that." He's the one that says, "No, it's not time yet. Hold up. Wait a minute." Yeah. And so because Saul would not listen, because he would not heed, because he took it into his own hands, you go on down here in verse 13, it says, Samuel says, "You acted foolishly. You've not kept the command of the Lord. If you had," listen to this, "he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time." Glory to God. And yet, you know what happened? Somebody else was waiting in the wings and took up that destiny. Of course, we know who it was. It was David. Now, I just want to throw this out here. You don't have to agree with it, okay? But let me just throw this out here. If nothing else, maybe you hadn't thought about it this way before, and at least it'll give you something new to chew on. Think about this. David wasn't God's first choice. Unless Samuel got it wrong here. He said, "If you had obeyed God, kept the command of the Lord, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time." Well, that means the lineage would have went through Saul's house instead of David's house. But because Saul did not realize his destiny in God, he took matters in his own hands. He did not value it. He did not keep it. Then what happened? It was taken from him and given to David. So chew on that a while. You know, we're always talking about David, David, David. But think, if you really look at it from this perspective, David was God's second choice. I know, I see the wheels are turning. You don't have to agree with that. It won't bother me a bit. But one thing is for certain, Saul lost his destiny, didn't he? And from this point on, you can trace his life, and it was a downward spiral, wasn't it? Down, down, down. He was tormented all the time. He was jealous. He was envious. He was suspicious. He didn't, you know, anybody that was a threat to him, he was out to get them. You know, it's interesting. In all that time, it never occurred to Saul to repent. Isn't that interesting? You would have thought that he would have seen all the telltale signs that I am out of the will of God. I'm out of the purpose of God. I've gotten myself out of the destiny of God. I need to repent. Listen, David missed it too. So, listen, Saul only attempted murder. David accomplished it. And as far as we know, it wasn't recorded. Saul didn't steal somebody else's wife. What was the difference? David knew how to repent, and he was quick to repent.
Yep.
And you know what? When he repented, it kept him right. It got him aligned right back up with God's plan. It got him aligned back up with God's destiny. You ever get a virus in your computer? Good Lord. You know, I got all this stuff on your computer, you know, this, that, and the other supposed to be. But it's interesting. Your computer's not working just right. And you know, it's got that where you can go back. It's the only place where you can go back in time. You go back, you can go back to your presets. You go back, and you can go back to where it was working good back there, on that certain date. And you hit that thing, and it restores it. It gets it lined back up, working right again. Isn't that right? And that's the way, that's what repentance does for us. You may miss it. Maybe we do get out of sync with God. Maybe we do get ahead of God, or we lag. But you know what? We can do just like that. We repent. It's just like hitting that reset. All systems online. Amen. And that's the way God is. And God says, okay, hallelujah. You're lined back up. Here we go. Because, that's the way God is. God's for us. He's not against us. Amen. So, remember this, you have a destiny. You have a destiny in God. And don't let time, we'll look at this in a future lesson, but there's things where God will prove us. One of them is time. One of them has to do with circumstances. And the third one has to do with people. Those three things are very important in God's working out of His destiny in our lives. And we'll look at all three of those more in depth in a lesson involved in this in the future. But let me just say this, the Bible says about Joseph concerning time, it says until the time appointed, okay, for Joseph, the word of the Lord. What word? The prophetic dream he had. It proved him. It tested him. What did it test him of? I'm telling you what, all the doubt, all the fears, all the discouragement. What? It just, that word just did what? It sucked all that out. Are you listening? God speaks a promise to you out of here. He gives you a prophetic word in your prayer closet or something. And then, time goes by. Listen, if everything God spoke to us happened immediately, you would be the most spoiled brat. Isn't that what? Have you ever been around a spoiled brat? Are we all old enough to know what that term is? They don't even use that anymore, do they? They probably got some big long word for it now. But spoiled brat is basically this. It's a child that has always gotten everything they wanted right away. Everything was instant gratification. Isn't that right? Sure it is. They don't know anything about, waiting, being patient, working for it themselves, or anything like that. Now, you think that God, in this destiny, this plan He has for your life, if every step of the way it was just boom, 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 boom. Man, can you imagine what a bunch of spoiled brats God would have? Hello? That's some people's problem as it is. They get spoiled in the natural. And then when they come in the kingdom of God, and God don't do things just their way and as quick as they thought, they will throw a fit. You ever seen a Christian throw a fit? I don't mean a Holy Ghost fit. I mean one of them other kind. Isn't that right? So we'll look and see, because in that, God will be proving us. He will be dealing with us, dealing with our motives. We're going to talk about from the Psalms, he talks about that God tries the reins of our heart. What are the reins of our heart? We're going to find out. One of the reins, I believe, is our motives.
Yeah.
Amen. Why do you want that? Why do you want to see that word come to pass? Well, I mean, you know, God told me I was going to be somebody great. Well, I got news for you. He's going to be tugging on that rein for a while. He's going to be yanking on that. And you know what's at on the end of every rein, don't you? Is a bit. And you know what James said the bit was, don't you? Is the word. And you know, if you study further over in Psalms, God is wanting the rein and the bit to be temporary. That's only for training purposes. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And he says, you know, because over in Psalms he said, "Don't be like the horse that can only be tamed with a bridle and a bit, with the reins and the bit." Well, to begin with, though, God deals with the reins of our heart. The bit is God's word, and He is what? He is bringing us under discipline. He is bringing us and growing us up. He is trying the reins, the motives of our heart, so that what? So that then He can fulfill the purpose of God. You know, we look at a Joseph or a Moses or an Abraham or somebody like that, and you know, and you wonder, did God just get up one day and say, "Okay, today's a good day, boom, you got it"? You know, last week wasn't. 10 years ago wasn't. I just wasn't in the mood, you know. You know, you ever look at that, though? I mean, why did he all of a sudden, after 25 years, da-da, here it is. It wasn't God that was holding up the process. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Do you think it matters to a God who's got all eternity if the process took 10 years for you, it takes 20 years for me? You think 20 years versus 10 years bothers God? It don't bother him one bit. Now, here's the thing. That means this. What? As I respond to the dealing of God in my life, I can move at a quicker pace.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, how many of you know some 40-year-old babies in the Lord? They've been in the way for 40 years and they're still a baby. Come on. Isn't that true? Why? Because what? They're not responding to the bit and the reins. God, they're not responding and allowing the motives of their heart, the discouragement, the fears, the motives, all those things to be dealt with. And so since they never are dealt with, they can't make any progress. And if they don't make any progress, we don't see the unfolding, even though they have one, of their destiny in God. You know, there's a term, I don't know if I use this, I hope it doesn't offend anybody. Everybody's so politically correct nowadays. You know, we used to use a word called retarded. You know, I don't mean in the way we tease people, but I mean literally, the word retarded means that the development is delayed, isn't it? It hasn't come forth. That's the way I'm meaning it. And we've seen people, maybe mentally or emotionally, they were retarded. There's a lot of retarded spiritual, a lot of retarded Christians in the body of Christ. And I don't say that in a mean way in any way. I'm just trying to use that as an example. Because what? And because of that, when you see somebody in the natural that's retarded, generally speaking, you don't see them that they're married, that they have a family, that they're holding down a job, that they're paying. Now, depending on the degree of it, but for most cases, they don't enjoy what? Those aspects of adulthood, do they? In the natural. The same thing's true spiritually. A lot of Christians aren't enjoying the benefits, the blessings of God and moving further and further into the destiny of God for the same reason. And so as we look at these truths, we want to examine our own hearts and not resist what God's trying to do. You know, sometimes God's at work and we misunderstand it and we think it's the enemy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm? Sure. We think it's the enemy. Yeah. Well, the enemy's holding this up. No. The enemy's not holding up that word God gave to you. It could be that you're holding up that word. And by that I mean what? Our response. to God's dealings in our life so that we can grow up and move on into it. You know, the Bible says we're to go what? From faith to faith, from glory to glory. Paul said it this way in Philippians. He said, forgetting what lies behind and stretching forth to what lies ahead. He said, I'm stretching for the what? The high call. What are you and I supposed to be moving toward? The highest, God's best, the fullness of God's plan and destiny for us. How many of you know it's easy to be average? You know? Sometimes I get so mad at myself. I say, you're just being average. You know? Because there's something on the inside of me that says, God's got more. God's bigger than this. God's plan is bigger than this. It's greater than this. And I believe that if you will listen, you'll hear that same thing. And it doesn't mean, you know, oh, that we're all going to have huge churches or this or that or that. But what I'm saying is it's bigger than average. It's bigger than ordinary. It's bigger than just one life. God's destiny is going to come out from my life, and it's going to make a difference for other people. Amen?
Amen.
Anyway, Amen. We're going to be talking about these things in the weeks ahead. We're going to talking about our destiny. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to be talking about His positioning. You know, God positions people both spiritually and geographically. Moved you guys down here, didn't He? Moved us down here. Amen. Hallelujah. But there's a positioning in God that's important. And you know, in warfare, just about any general will tell you that the single most important thing in warfare is positioning. You got to have your troops in the right place at the right time. Isn't that true? So we're going to talk about positioning as a part of fulfilling our destiny, how God is wanting to position us both spiritually and some of us even geographically. You think about it. Sometimes they're tied together. Think about Adam and Eden, Abraham and Canaan.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
You go right on down the line talking about the different ones. Israel in the Promised Land. You go right on down the line. God's spiritual plan was tied to their geographical position. And so God positions us. And this is so important that we know that I am where God wants me to be, both spiritually, but also in the natural, geographically.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
You say, I don't want to listen too close to that. God might tell me to go to Africa. Well, if He does, you'll be the most blessed person you've ever been. Used to hear, you know, remember, used to hear people, they were afraid to seek God too much because they were afraid God's going to tell them to go to Africa. Well, I said, if He does, you're going to be blessed.
Yeah.
And if he wants you to go to Africa and you stay here, you're going to be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? You'll miss God's best.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
And I believe that. I believe God has sent sin in our places. You know, not so much, although we like to think that we were a blessing, but it wasn't only just for us to be a blessing. Somebody had something that we needed to impart to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the moving on in our destiny.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about positioning from the Scriptures next week. We're going to talk about how important that is. Let's say this one more time. I have a destiny.
I have a destiny.
I have a destiny. Yeah, you can add anything you want to.
I love it when...
Turn on. Up.
I love it when the microphone works. I love it when the Holy Spirit speaks to you while you're listening to a message, because it's like He's teaching you alongside what pastor's saying, but he's making it personal to you. And some of the things that, you know, he was telling me was, and I felt like I needed to share this because other people need to hear it. When you take matters into your own hands, it's like, you know, like Saul did, you know, like Abraham did. The results are basically a work of the flesh. That's what it is. It's the difference between a work of the flesh and a work of the Spirit. And whenever a work of the flesh is produced, there are always consequences to bear. You know, you think about it. You think of Ishmael, you know. You think of some of the bad decisions. But, you know, Abraham made a bad decision, and he's the father of faith. So we're in good company. If we make a bad decision once in a while, it's okay. God, you know, it's not unforgivable sin. You know what I'm saying?
But though I fall, I will arise.
That's right. That's right. But there's always, you know, there's consequences. So, you know, beware of consequences because, you know, they go on for a while sometimes. So you got to deal with them. And it's interesting because you use that word reigns, you know. And before you said that, God was speaking to me about that too. He says, it's so easy to take the reins of your life and to say, giddy up. Mm-hmm. The problem is, you know, that horse might go wild and lead you down into a ditch or something, you know. So you got to be really careful. Another thing too he said to me was that, you know, when your life's on pause, it's because God is wanting to develop something in you first. You know, God is more concerned about our development than he is our deliverance in a situation. That's something our pastor imparted to us a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Think about it. He's more concerned about our development, our character being developed, than he is our deliverance. It's important to him. He's wanting maybe to deliver, develop in you maybe, well, definitely patience. If you're on pause,
I'll say that.
You know, but it could be integrity. It could be honesty. It could be perseverance and persistence, you know, so that you don't give up the first time somebody says no to you. You know, he's wanting to develop those things in us so that we grow up in him, you know. And hold on, I got to look at this.
Oh, page two.
Yeah.
Go, girl.
And the other thing, one last thing. He also mentioned that word lockstep. And when he said lockstep, I don't know if you pictured the same thing I did. But you know when you were a kid and you would play that game or, you know, you'd have the races and you would tie, you know, the three-legged race, you know? Well, you know, we're supposed to be in lockstep with God. We're supposed to be tied together with God, right? And it works a lot better. Come on, do it with me. Come on.
I'm trying to.
It works a lot better.
Look, it works a lot better when you're tied.
When you're working in unison.
Rope
when
it.
When you're working in unison together. I mean,
that's
you'll
right.
get from A to B a lot faster when you're tied, when you're joined together with God. You know what I'm saying? And you're working at the same pace. You're not getting ahead. You're not behind him. And you're tied to God. You're not tied to the devil because the devil's going to take you this way. God's going to take you this way. You know, all those. That's how God speaks to me. He talks to me in pictures. You know, I see when I hear a message a lot of times, I see, you know, pictures, word pictures. And so anyway, I just thought I'd share that because sometimes when we have pictures, I'm a visual learner. You know, I'm in education. And there's different ways to learn. There's auditory learners. There's visual learners. There's kinesthetic learners. You know, and these are educational terms. But most of us are visual learners. That's why we can hear things sometimes and they don't sink in. That's why we have to listen to them over and over again with CDs and things like that. But if we can see a picture of it, you know, whether it's in your mind's eye or right in front of you, it helps you retain that. So anyway, that's why I wanted to share it.
All right. Good work. Amen. Hallelujah. She'll be back next week. Hallelujah. I'll give you a chance real quickly, those that would like to give your offerings tonight. Hallelujah. The Bible says give, and it's going to be what? Given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and what? Running over. Who said that?